Hello, welcome to Charity Chat. I'm your host, Samuel Davies. In this episode, we speak with Manjeet Pabla, fundraiser, coach, consultant, and mentor at Lumos Consulting. We speak about mentoring and how it can help senior leaders, but also managers and teams of staff throughout charities. We also touch on how mentoring could have helped us in hindsight to have dealt with challenges in the past. This episode of Charity Chat has been brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Work for Good. Work for Good is a fundraising platform helping businesses raise funds for charities through their sales. The platform makes the legal agreement needed for businesses to fundraise from sales quick and simple, saving charities time and resource and enabling them to raise more unrestricted income. Pop to workforgood.co.uk to learn more and to book a free demo. So without further ado, here is Manjeet Pabla speaking to us about mentoring in charity. I'm delighted to be joined by Manjeet Pabla, fundraiser, mentor, coach, and consultant at Lumos Consulting. Manjeet, welcome to Charity Chat.
Thanks, Sam. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks so much for doing it. I suppose the first question, as we tend to ask all of our guests now, what is your background and what has led you to what you do now at Lumos Consulting?
Oh, good. Background is around about 16 years plus in the charity sector. Starting off as a humble community fundraiser, I was in the financial sector prior to that. And I think it just got to a point where a lot of people with money were just making money and it didn't really tick the box of motivation or any sort of goal setting for myself. It just didn't feel like I was making a difference. So I did a bit of volunteering actually at the Miles May Mission Hospital for a couple of months just to get a taster of what charity sector was like and whether I could see myself progressing into it. And then I made the leap into the charity sector, think from community fundraising to moving into special events, working with a corporate team with partnerships, and then going on to do some major donor events. Been in it for a very long time. And I was progressing through towards a goal, I think, of being the head of events or the senior manager of events team in a national charity. And that was always the kind of goal to get there. But when I got there, there was a sense of uneven work-life balance. The wheels turned almost. It was great to have the budgets and the great big events and the bigger team. And I think it was just before COVID, you know, that we went into a really kind of big portfolio of events to deliver that year and things got a bit uneven.
Is it relating to the stress of COVID, do you think? Do you think it was the time or the place of your life?
Yeah, it was just influx of people wanting to support, which is absolutely amazing. But the resource level was remaining very, you know, stagnant of where we were, but the demand was increasing. And it was just finding that the kind of balance of what's okay, how, when do we stop being that ambitious to push the team, and understanding that we couldn't push forward without not investing in resource and staffing. And it just got very blurred in between there, getting very stressful in terms of switching off between family and work. And then obviously in COVID, you know, I had my kids at home. So it was just balancing of what do we do? And it just seemed like a bit of a wheel that I was on and I needed to get off to reassess.
And so after that, so I suppose, I mean, now, you know, the pandemic, well, I mean, COVID's still around, isn't it? But, you know, we're talking in September 2023 for those people that come back to us years from now. But I think certainly, a good couple of years or so, that it was a very stressful time, 2020, 2021, 2022, really, as well. There's a lot going on. So over that time, what was your life like? How were you progressing in your career?
It was a lot of remote learning. And I think, lucky for me, I'm quite personable via remote apps, platforms like Teams and Zoom, as well as kind of meeting in person. But a lot of people found that very difficult within the team in terms of how do we keep that connection going and how do we keep that mutual, almost charity banter, but also just a bit of fun aspect to life and not feeling so siloed by yourself. So it was relearning and retuning on what remote working looks like for me and my team around me. What do I need now to fill in the void of feeling that office environment, but also just to have a conversation with somebody other than my partner and my kids, you know, and how do I keep myself sane? And I think that was quite prominent in my mind, which was then important for me to create that for my team. So that's what I concentrated on. And I think we did kind of eventually get there. A lot of people were quite resistant to putting their videos on, cameras on Teams at the first beginning, and it just felt a little bit alienated. And I think by the end of it, it became a bit of a norm, and it is a norm now. I'm working hybrid at the moment. So there is some face to face, but mostly everything is done like me and you are talking now over Zoom or Teams.
And I guess there's been a bit of a learning curve, hasn't there? I mean, certainly from my perspective, during the pandemic, I know that, and listeners might roll their eyes at this, and I probably do myself, but I with my team, I thought we need to let's meet at 9 every day for a few minutes, and then let's meet at the end of the day and kind of reflect and things like that. But I think, that in that very quickly became apparent that that wasn't working, that people weren't responding well to that. And also there's a lot of meetings there, wasn't there? Kind of having 10 meetings a week just to say, how are you? And it got a bit tiresome pretty quickly. And I suppose now, for me anyway, I think maybe some of the learnings I've taken from the pandemic around meetings is trying to have a very clear reason for meeting online and kind of having a fairly strict kind of schedule. But I guess also having moments where, we actually reflect and are humans with each other too for a period of time.
Yeah, and I think it was a learning for everyone. You know, had kids, and then obviously everyone felt a bit intimidated when their kids popped into the Zoom, or, you know, and inevitably it was going to happen. And I think as a manager who had kids, I think it was very important for me to reflect that real life of what was going on behind me or under my desk at that point in time, and just to call it and just to say it's absolutely fine. It's something that we're all navigating towards. But you're right about the meetings. I think what disappeared very quickly was that break from a meeting. You walk out from a meeting in an office, you might pop to the toilet, you might have a cup of coffee, you might have a bit of a chat at the in the kitchen with whoever's making teas or coffees at that point before getting to your next meeting. And then it almost became back to back. And you know, those breaks seem to kind of gradually just disappear, which was the unhealthy side of Zoom and remote working, I think. It's just they weren't very efficient in meeting times. You know, there wasn't any breaks factored in for it. It was factored of, well, you're at your desk. We can definitely go from one to the other.
You're sat there anyway. Let's just keep the conversation going. But every meeting you had, you came out with a new to-do list and no time to do any of it, right?
Yes, exactly.
Today we're focusing on the topic of mentoring, and I think there are lots of topics we could focus on. Hopefully, you'll enjoy this experience, Manjeet, so we'll get you back to talk about other things. But if today's about mentoring, how do you define mentoring, and why is it important for charities in order to be successful?
I think mentoring is a really powerful tool for anyone, not just for charity leaders. I think just for any individual who's looking for a bit of guidance. It allows a fresh perspective and a shared knowledge of somebody who's been there, done that, or has been in very similar situations who can guide you from outside in. Sometimes we're so caught up in the inside of our environment, it's very hard to see the bigger picture of where we're trying to get to. And I think it encourages active listening. It really kind of gives you practical guidance, but also guidance on how to better those relationships that we might be struggling with professionally. And lo and behold, you know, there's always the challenging environments at work. How do you have that conversation with someone by providing constructive feedback and removing the emotions outside of it? So I think it definitely that's I know if I had a mentor, you know, earlier on, I might have made different decisions, more informed decisions, which might have avoided some pitfalls in my career along the way.
Because yeah, I suppose, I mean, in some, I don't know, maybe it's universal, but certainly in the charity sector, from kind of where I've kind of my progress through in the sector, or up through kind of different levels of management, things like that, there's not always been a very clear training mechanism there, or you know, I haven't always felt, especially when I was, you know, younger, I haven't felt I was necessarily given the training I needed in order to have things like difficult conversations, or to really kind of even know what I didn't know. You know, I kind of came into a lot of situations quite naively in hindsight. And I think, you know, also kind of managing to get through them, partly because, you know, working for charities, there's sometimes, not always, but sometimes there's an element of people just being real with each other and being open. But I suppose the counter to that is that if there's, sometimes it's also hard to have those very kind of professional kind of feedback conversations, isn't there? Constructive feedback strikes me as something that's, you know, quite easier when you're being very professional and even, dare I say, kind of corporate about how you deliver the feedback, rather than, you know, mates saying to each other that they didn't like the way they behaved. You know, it's difficult, isn't it? Difficult line.
Definitely is. And I think it's a life skill. Some of those life skills haven't been given to us through the education system, even through our work experiences. We might have had, you know, we might have a job that we've been in for the last 10 years and not moved to any other organization. And I think the culture within that organization is all that you know. But there are other ways of doing certain things. And I think that's where mentors and coaches really help lend themselves with experiences that they've had over their professional lives in different situations with different people, which kind of then allows you to kind of bring in new ideas, new perspectives to what you're trying to, you know, solve within your own working environment.
And is it that kind of mentoring or mentorship, is that something that people should treat like a course? Is it something that people should say, right, on a Thursday lunchtime, I have half an hour speaking to this person? Or is it something that's kind of a situation dependent, you know, I need to talk to somebody and this person knows about this or that?
I think it should be a long-term progression. So yes, like training, treat it like training, but I think it should be regular. I am now mentoring senior management team over at charity that I'm consulting at. It's a half a day a week, and they know on that day they can all book in a slot as and when they need it, but it is a weekly appointment and they can take use of that. And I think I've seen a lot of difference in the way people are now resolving challenges at work, or how they're looking at barriers that might be presenting themselves within their roles. And there's a real shift of mindset in terms of they're able to now see beyond the emotions and how that challenge is affecting them, or how what they think the solution is, but almost kind of presenting it as a case of, this is a challenge and this is what I think the solutions are, and this is how I've come to my solution recommendations, and having a very open conversation about it rather than a, I don't like it and can we change it? I think you've always got to come to, well, how do you want to change it?
Yeah. And I guess in that environment, is it that people are more open with their fears and the types of things they might not be open about talking to their manager about, for example?
Exactly. It's a non-judgmental environment for them, a safe space where they know that they can just totally say what's on their mind. Mm-hmm. It does not go any further. But the guidance that they're receiving is still within their capabilities. They'll still be able to kind of mold that solution to what they feel would fit better. But it just helps them arrive at that solution rather than going to a problem with a problem. I think that's the biggest barrier that I see within the workspace, is there's always going to be challenges and there's always things that we want to do differently. But there's a way of challenging that behavior. And you've all, you know, there's got to almost be a, this is the problem and this is why it's a problem to me. And almost working it logically, because I think when we're emotionally attached to something, it could be a project or it could be an event, you can't always see beyond that, because it's kind of stopping your way to delivering something you want to deliver. We don't always stop to reassess, okay, well, what's available to me, or what does the solution look like? And what do I need to happen to get there? So it slows things down for everyone to logically just think about something with a sounding board, which I think, and a lot of people do have this thing of, if I do go to my manager, is my manager going to think I'm not capable of doing my job? Are my insecurities going to come at the forefront, and do I actually want to share that and be vulnerable to it?
It takes a lot of trust, doesn't it, in order to do that. And I suppose also for the manager's point of view, they've got a thousand things to do in a day, and to go through that process of working things through, they might not have the time to do that, right?
And I think it works both ways. And I think there are things that managers could do differently in one-to-ones, and questions that could prompt solutions or could prompt those open discussions with their employees. But at the same time, you're very right, they could be managing three different departments with upteen employees. How much are you actually going to have time to focus on each individual, to what their needs are, in order for them to complete, deliver their role?
Supporting senior managers in some cases, is there a kind of a notion there that then there's a kind of almost a trickle down of learning? So if the senior leader starts to understand more around the mechanisms, I suppose, the mental mechanisms or whatever it is to deal with problems in a better way, then they can pass that on to their managers and their staff and things like that.
Absolutely. And I think that's where I come from when I say, if I had a mentor earlier on in my career, I think I would have done a lot of things differently. But it definitely does come top down. If there's not a calm, collective leader who's pragmatic and can offer solutions, it trickles down to everybody. And I think it takes suit. Even if you try to avoid it all the best you can, that environment does come down somewhat amongst the team that you're trying to manage.
I know we've talked about a little bit already, but I'm really curious, Manjeet, when you look back over your career, what do you think recent mentoring experience could have helped you to achieve earlier?
I think better ways of managing my time with my team to ensure they're getting what they all wanted. And that didn't necessarily have to be a weekly meeting. I could have done that in an open team meeting. I could have set some premises within the how I conduct my meetings, what we discuss at these meetings. And I think we all are privy to, and we probably have been in the same situation, where we might have a team meeting once every week and everyone reports on what they're doing, but nobody really stops to discuss their challenges or barriers, which things would actually help as a discussion amongst the team. And it's breaking those and those norms of, all it is are just a round robin of where we are. It's much more important to discuss what challenges each and others are facing within the team. And I think that also builds team morale. It also shows other senior managers that I'm not the only one that might be having a bit of a wobble. I might not be the only one that's feeling a bit of pressure. It's okay. But it also would help so much, I think, with my senior managers, if I was able to kind of give them the training or provide them with a mentor very early on. It would help them maintain their teams of how do you challenge each other? How do you collaboratively work with other department? How do we get rid of those silos and open up that narrative of you being the leaders within your peer-to-peer groups rather than always coming to a manager? It's about empowering them as well. So those are the things that I would have changed had I had a mentor earlier on.
It really resonates to me, the things you're saying there, because I suppose also, on the podcast we've talked in terms of externally facing, we've talked about being audience centered, we've talked about donor centric fundraising and things like that. But I guess sometimes internally, when we're talking about managing our teams, working with our colleagues, we maybe slip a little bit into these kind of standard ways of working, these standard processes, which, when again, same kind of rationale for why you'd be audience-centered in your external approach. Internally, you're dealing with individuals who are probably different to the people you've worked with in the past. And so it makes sense that mentoring actually gives you a bit more flexibility in terms of understanding people and maybe understanding new challenges and working through those, I suppose, scientifically and rationally, but also maybe gives people the skills they need to be adaptable to different challenges too.
For sure. And I think it's almost, if we relate it back to stewardship, which is quite hot in their sector, and we're also talking about stewardship, how do we better tailor our communications to our different audiences and all the tiers that we have? It's the same with our employees and our teams. Not everyone has the same management style. Not everyone wants the same management style. It's understanding how do we tailor. And I think mentoring does that very well because each person could use it for how they want to use it. Somebody might just want some rationale, but they're quite happy to just get on with their job, but they just need someone to break down their priorities and how they're going to get there. Others might be struggling with challenging others within the team and removing barriers and getting things done better. So it's a mixed bag. We can't treat our employees with just one way of management because that just doesn't suit everyone. Somebody wants a hands-on manager. Somebody wants somebody who just, a manager who trusts them to just get the job done and check in every now and then. But that comes with every team, I think. There's going to be a mixed bag of how people want to be managed.
So how can mentoring support charity leaders particularly, and what practices can all of us take on to become better mentors to those around us?
I think mentoring can help charity leaders to empower their teams better, to provide the practical tools and guidance to allow them to go off and do their jobs better. But also, I think, the takeaways would be active listening, like really stop and listen to what your team is saying, all those individuals within the team. I think the biggest thing with coaching or mentoring is everyone just appreciates someone just to listen, not interrupt, not kind of push the agenda of how they're going to do things, just to listen. And they value that the most. I think if they feel that they've been listened to and there's practical guidance coming back their way, there's no way that person would not feel empowered or feel a part of that team. I think that grows the passion. There's also kind of long-term relationship building. And I think if we are looking to build our teams, it's all about retention. How do we keep our employees happy, thriving, and feeling passionate about the cause they work for? And I think mentoring would again excel that. It would help aid that because you'd be a better manager, you'd be a better leader for it. You can kind of work through the challenges. But yeah, so the three things I would say is active listening, be authentic and honest with your teams, and also just kind of empower your teams with the right tools to get on with what they need to do.
Is mentoring something that we're seeing increasingly in the charity sector? And do we see it in other sectors? Is it more embedded in other sectors? Do we know that?
I think from my personal experience, I know a lot of corporate organizations have mentors and coaches, and that's part of their benefits towards their employees. I think the charity sector is moving towards it. I have been part of other initiatives like the FEM-mentored workshops that I did with it. I was mentoring a couple of people through there, but there are other organizations who are now connecting mentees and mentors together within the charity sector. But I think as charities, we don't necessarily offer it as a benefit. And I think if we started to look at that as a long-term support for our employees, we would definitely see, decrease in people wanting to leave. They'd feel more invested in. We'd be giving them. And I think mentoring kind of goes further than just professional. It helps them work through any personal issues, which then brings it back to them working and being happier within the workplace, knowing that they have this outlet and they have access to it.
Manjeet Pebbler, thank you for contributing to Charity Chats.
Thank you so much.
Big thank you there to Manjeet Pebbler for sharing her insights and expertise with us here on Charity Chats. Difficult conversations, by their very nature, are difficult. It's in the name. That's not to say that we shouldn't have guidance in how we approach them. Mentoring can help with this, and whether it's thinking about the best approach to managing up, down, or sideways, a mentor can help us to sense check our approach before we jump in. Mentoring can help us all to become better, more authentic, compassionate, empathetic leaders. Perhaps it's in the safe, non-judgmental space that a mentor helps to create, which can help us to move beyond fear to a state of professional enlightenment. By understanding ourselves, overcoming our fears, and finding space to reflect, digest, and move forward in our thinking, we can improve as a manager, a colleague, and a collaborator to those around us. Something we can all do and get better at is actively listening to our colleagues as a way of mentoring them, creating a safe space, asking questions without judgment, being open to those who are speaking to us and reflecting on what they say is a way of empowering those around us and sharing power. A surefire way to improving culture, well-being and the impact of our work on us and those around us. So thank you, dear listener, for getting this far with us. We hope you enjoyed this episode and continue to enjoy the podcast. We'd love to hear either way. Please do like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, plus share with any colleagues or friends who may be interested. It's just left for me to thank our corporate sponsors. This episode of Charity Chat has been brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Work for Good. Work for Good is a fundraising platform helping businesses raise funds for charities through their sales. The platform makes the legal agreement needed for businesses to fundraise from sales quick and simple, saving charities time and resource and enabling them to raise more unrestricted income. Pop to workforgood.co.uk to learn more and to book a free demo. Also like to thank Giant Squid Audio Lab for sponsoring our podcast kit, Magda Aksumit for our beautiful website, check it out at charitychat.org.uk, and Forest of Fools for playing throughout the show and for playing us out right now. That's it from me. Keep on doing what you can. Speak to you soon. Cheerio. Bye-bye.